you think you are? Happy Valentine's Day and welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. When we gaze at the heroes of faith as we've been doing, we may hear a voice that sounds like us saying, "Well, yes, but I'm no Moses, I'm no Abraham, I'm certainly not Christ. How can I have faith like them?" But if we continue reading Hebrews 11, we'll find a Canaanite prostitute. Suddenly the example is a little more down to earth. Rahab and her household were saved from destruction by faith. Here's Jim.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the confidence we can have, the assurance we can have, resting in your promises, standing on the promises. Our faith has found a resting place, not in device and creed, but in the eternally settled word of the living God. It's been fun to learn from those who, in years before us, trusted everything, put everything on the line, and stepped out in obedience to your call or in response to your instruction. They accepted at face value that you were Creator God, that really we're here not because of anything that we can figure out or anything we can calculate or even discover. Everything that was created by things that do not support or give life. Unseen things were made visible and constructed in such complicated and complex forms that we can spend our lifetime studying and without fail, always learning something new. You are a great God. You are a wonderful Father. You are a faithful and true friend. You are indeed our guide, our Savior, our Redeemer. So tonight, speak to our hearts from out of your word. I know there are folks here tonight, like myself, who have particular burdens, things that press upon them, things that they want to turn over to you. They want to trust you in your wisdom and grace to deal with these stresses, problems, complexities, needs. Father, teach us to be like children who just trust. And since you are our Heavenly Father and you never fail, teach us to trust you with every need we have and to be more cognizant, more thankful for the many, many blessings that adorn our life. Oh, Father, thank you for that victory that is ours in Christ. Thank you for the rest of soul and spirit and heart and mind that comes to us when we trust you. Thank you for the assurance that when you speak, it's settled. It's good as done. And help us not to frustrate ourselves or be frustrated with others who want to dictate to you the schedule of your agenda. Help us to know that your agenda is right on time. You never fail to show up at the precise best moment, always with the best answer, always, always having perfectly dealt with every factor that touches those needs. You're an incredible God. We thank you and we love you. So bless our hearts tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. These are not happy days in the world camp. Our leaders are up against incredible odds, very complex problems, incredibly complex situations. It's too bad that most of the people we hear commentating on the news are very selective, and they are also very politicized. By that I mean they are looking usually for ways to use the crisis, use the situation for their own personal popularity, growth, re-election, you name it. And so few of those who are really, really the experts have access to the mic, an unintimidated opportunity to speak. That's a shame. But I remind you, it's one of the things God said would be true in the end days, that we would be led by His word, not mine, by fools. By fools. People who refuse to accept the reality of God and God's control. And people who really think they are smart enough, wise enough, rich enough to plan through the complexities that face our world and its people and come up with right answers. And then are wise enough to enforce those, to accomplish those. Sad, very, very sad. Turning your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews. We've looked at a bevy of great heroes of the faith. Incredible people, just incredible. Who hasn't heard about Noah? Who hasn't heard about Abraham? Who hasn't heard about Jacob? Who hasn't heard about Moses? Very, very, very few people are strangers to those names. If our generation continues in the direction it's chosen, there will soon be a generation, though, who will not know those names or have any idea of any connection they have with real history. And that's a shame. But the writer of Hebrews has selected these folks to show that in their lives there were principles of faith that were functioning, principles of faith. And I've really slowed down because I wanted to suck all the juice I could out of what those faith choices look like. And tonight is no different. Hebrews chapter 11, look with me, please. I want to start reading at verse 28. Hebrews 11, 28. Notice what happens. By faith, that's Moses. Notice the next verse. By faith, they. See that? Notice verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho. Notice verse 31. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute. That's, in itself, an intriguing set of four topics. Moses was, without a doubt, the great lawgiver in the scripture. So epitomizes him, and those who were his descendants so eulogized him that there were serious Bible scholars of his day who looked into the face of Jesus and said, we know God spoke through Moses, but we don't have any confidence that you even know God. How about that? So Moses was a man who was made sensitive to the call of God, understood the will of God, and lived out his life in light of what God had promised would take place. And Moses died without most of those promises being fulfilled. Which tells us that faith, hear me, faith is not an organ. Faith is not an instrument to accomplish something from God. You'll hear people often say, well, you know, you can move that mountain if you have enough faith. Now, faith is not an instrument that moves objects and creates miracles. Faith is an active, focused confidence in one who is greater than you and I, and one who has the resources to do what he says he's going to do. And then we focus our faith upon what he says he will do, and we do our part. That's exactly what the writer is talking about here. Notice he moves from Moses, the individual, He moves to they, the people who came out of Egypt under Moses' leadership. You notice that? He then moves to the walls of Jericho. Now, the walls of Jericho are an object. They're intimidating. Been there many times. And although there's some uncertainty about which of the five locations is the real authentic Joshua's Jericho walls, there's some debate about that. Yet to stand there and to see the remainder of what walls are there is an impressive thing. They're intimidating features. Jericho was placed at the New York City of the land of Canaan. You had to come across the Jordan River, and then there was Jericho. And that was a very, very famous land route in the day of Joshua. It came off of what was called the King's Highway, and the King's Highway ran all the way from Egypt up through Israel and over to Europe. It also had branches that turned and went over to Babylon and on up north into other areas of the eastern part of that world. And Jericho was a formidable city because it was there to dominate the route where all commerce traveled. And they were able to both extract taxes at that point. They were also there to enforce the laws of the land. That is, they wanted it to be impregnable. They wanted that to be a fortress which would stand and hold. And frankly, humanly speaking, it was an insurmountable obstacle. But the walls fell. Think of it this way. In the ancient world, the walls of Jericho would have been more strategic than the World Trade Center of 9/11. It was at a junction between nations, separate nations. It was a junction where trade and taxes and all of that took place. It was a place also known for its luxurious seawater, the Dead Sea, and all the healing properties that came from that. It was also a place that was nourished by certain streams or fresh water that were available there. So it was a significant place, maybe like New York, maybe like Chicago, maybe like Atlanta. Formidable place. And the walls were a significant reason why it was a formidable place. But the writer here very casually says the walls of Jericho fell. Now it says they fell down. It says they fell down after being encircled for 7 days. You know the story. God brought the nation of Israel over there into Jericho, in front of Jericho, and he said, now I want you to be absolutely silent. I want you to walk around the city, all the way around the walls, once each day for 6 days. Seventh day, I want you to walk around seven times, and then when I raise the standard, I want you to shout. They did, and the walls fell down flat. Flat. Now, I love what the founder of Back to the Bible Hour said in his writing of this passage. It was his conviction, his persuasion, that this was an angelic miracle. And he had reasons for believing that. He believed that the angels pushed the walls down into the ground, not over. Because if you go back and you read the battle record, you discover that the soldiers, each soldier that was circling the city, went straight ahead into the city. So the route between them and the citizens living in Jericho was unencumbered. They went straight in. Think about that. He may be right. Maybe absolutely right. He also pointed out that the reason he liked that interpretation was because it gave greater glory to God and because it demonstrated God's perfect care of the next character in this list. Because the Bible tells us that Rahab's house was built on the wall. On the wall. Her house was part of the wall. Matter of fact, when the spies left her house, they went out through a window straight down the wall and escaped to the mountains. And the Bible tells us that when the wall fell flat, that the soldiers went in and did what they needed to do, and God gave them absolute total victory. But Rahab and her family, who were all in Rahab's apartment when the attack took place, Rahab and her family were spared. Pretty amazing. Great idea. I think the reason it's written this way is not to discredit Joshua, but it is to tell us that that was a formidable milestone. That was a time when God dramatically, supernaturally separated the sheep and the goats. That's when God supernaturally dealt militarily with the inhabitants of the land of Israel. He had said, I'll go before you. I'll fight the wars. I will be your commander-in-chief. You just march and I'll do that. And from my study of the scripture, with the exception of those soldiers who died at the Battle of Ai, which followed this, I don't think there were any casualties among the Israelites during the whole time they invaded the land. Why? Because God did their fighting. And that's precisely what's going to happen again. In some sense, it's what's happening tonight. The God who called the covenant people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from among the Gentiles, brought them back to his land, settled them in the land, is not abandoning them yet. Yet. And God will do incredible supernatural things to give those who are the recipients of his covenant blessings, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their descendants, they will get the direct fulfillment of those promises, and God will fill in the blanks between now and then. Spectacular things are ahead for the land of Israel. Now, Rahab, we mentioned her, is an interesting study. Turn back with me, please, in your Bible to the book of Joshua. Joshua, I want you to listen to her personal testimony. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Verse 8. Before the two spies fell asleep, Rahab went up on the roof. This is of her house or her apartment where she had hidden them. She says to them, this is Rahab, I know that the Lord has given you this land. Say what? I know that your God has given you this land. I don't know how she learned that. I don't know where that faith came from. But frankly, that's more faith than what a lot of the people who marched out of Egypt actually exhibited. I know the Lord has given you this land. I know that the dread of you has fallen on us. The dread of you? Yeah, God's shadow had preceded his presence. The dread of you has fallen on us. Everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the rivers of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings, you completely destroyed across the Jordan. That's on the other side of the Jordan, in the land it's now called Jericho. When we heard this, we lost heart. Everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Oh my goodness. Now this is coming from the lips of a Canaanite prostitute. Read that again when you got some time and just ponder what she just said. We know. I know. And I know that the Lord God that you serve is Lord God in heaven above Lord, let us be low. Now, please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my family because I showed kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them and save us from death. They say, okay, we'll do that. Verse 15. Then she let them down by rope through the window, since she lived in a house that was built into the wall of the city. Remember what we just said. Go to the hill country, she said, so that the men pursuing you won't find you. The hill country would have been the opposite way from the River Jordan. Her instruction to the king was, yeah, she thought she had seen a couple of strangers, and she thought that they had fled before the city gates were closed, and she thought they had gone east toward the Jordan, which would be natural, returning back to their armies. No, she said, the guys who are looking for your life out there are going to be exploring the banks of the Jordan River. So you go the other way. You go toward the mountains, she said. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until they return. Afterwards, after they return to Jericho, then go your way. Now watch. The men said to her, we will be free from this oath you made us swear, unless when we enter the land, you tie this scarlet cord to the window through which you let us down. Bring your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's family into your house. If anyone goes out of the doors of your house, his blood will be on his own head, and we will be innocent. But if anyone with you in the house should be harmed, his blood will be on our heads. And if you report our mission, we are from the oath you have made us swear. Phenomenal. Absolutely incredible. We often make the same mistake. That is, we hold people captive to what they used to be, what they once did, sometimes even to struggles and habits that they find hard to break. Sometimes they want those habits gone, but we can't get beyond the corruption of their past to encourage them to receive grace for the future. This in no way celebrates the practice of prostitution. This in no way makes Rahab a model citizen, but it does make her a model believer.
Rahab's faith may have taken the form of sheer terror, but being afraid of the right being is actually a good start. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs teaches us. And her faith did much more than protect her and her kin, but we'll have to tackle that on tomorrow's episode. The title of the sermon is, Faith is Not Just for the Heavyweights. We offer it on CD for your gift of $7 or more. The series in Hebrews is comprised of 20 discs, yours for a donation of $69 or more. We call the set God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. I'll tell you how to order those right after I mention that your prayers and financial support are crucially important. We appreciate everyone who's helping. The gift may seem small to you, but God can energize it for His glory. Please pray about whether you can be one of the ones keeping this ministry on the air. Thanks. And now here's how to get a hold of us. Please write us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085 USA, or call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. And on the internet, navigate to rightstartradio.org. There you can subscribe to our podcast that comes out every weekday, or you can re-listen to past radio programs or even play or download complete sermons by Pastor Jim. And you can click to donate securely. Please drop by soon, rightstartradio.org. We don't send out spam or junk mail, so feel free to engage with us at rightstartradio.org. We'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Tomorrow, we'll learn the rest of Rahab's story. She left quite a legacy, to say the least. We hope you can join us for Thursday's Right Start.